as long as Sarah could remember, even as far back as when Sarah was herself a patient here. Nellie said, "Your cheeks are on fire." I just got yelled at by my mother. Nellie raised an eyebrow. I assume with good reason. Well, Sarah said, hoping that would end it. She glanced at the clock on the wall as she did this and let out an audible gasp. Is that right? She asked, checking the time against her watch. I was supposed to meet Tessa at lunch 15 minutes ago. Nellie checked her own watch. This late in the day? It's closer to supper time. It was the only time I could make it, Sarah said, gathering charts together. Nellie flashed a smile. Chief Tolliver's holding on line 3. Sarah sat back on her heels, a feeling of dread washing over her. She did double duty as the town's pediatrician and coroner. Jeffrey Tolliver, her ex-husband, was the chief of police. There were only 2 reasons for him to be calling Sarah in the middle of the day, neither of them particularly pleasant. Sarah stood and picked up the phone, giving him the benefit of the doubt. Somebody better be dead. Jeffrey's voice was garbled, and she assumed he was using his cellular phone. Sorry to disappoint you, he said. Then, I've been on hold for 10 minutes. What if this had been an emergency? Sarah started shoving papers into her briefcase. It was an unwritten clinic policy to make Jeffrey jump through hoops of fire before he could speak to Sarah on the telephone. She was actually surprised that Nellie remembered to tell Sarah he was on the phone. Sarah? She glanced at the door, mumbling. I knew I should have just left. What? He asked, his voice echoing slightly on the cellular. I said you always send someone if it's an emergency, she lied. Where are you? At the college, he answered. I'm waiting for the deputy dogs. He was using their term for the campus security at Grant Tech, the state university at the center of town. She asked, well, what is it? I just wanted to see how you were doing. Fine, she snapped, pulling the papers back out of her briefcase, wondering why she had put them there in the first place. She flipped through some charts, shoving them into the side pocket. She said, I'm late for lunch with Tess. What did you need? He seemed taken aback by her curt tone. You just looked distracted yesterday, he said. In church. I wasn't distracted, she mumbled, flipping through the mail. She stopped at the sight of a postcard, her whole body going rigid. The front of the card showed a picture of Emory University in Atlanta, Sarah's alma mater. Neatly typed on the back beside her address at the children's clinic were the words, Why hast thou forsaken me?
Sarah?
A cold sweat came over her. I need to go.
Sarah,
She hung up the phone before Jeffrey could finish his sentence, shoving 3 more charts into her briefcase along with the postcard. She slipped out the side door without anyone seeing her. Sunlight beamed down on Sarah as she walked into the street. There was a chill in the air that had not been there this morning, and the dark clouds promised rain later on tonight. Tessa was sitting in a booth on the far wall of the empty diner, eating a hamburger. She did not look pleased. Sorry I'm late, Sarah offered, walking toward her sister. She tried a smile, but Tessa did not respond in kind.
You said 2. It's nearly 2:30.
I had paperwork, Sarah explained, tucking her briefcase into the booth. Tessa was a plumber, like their father. While clogged drains were no laughing matter, very seldom did Linton and daughters get the kind of emergency phone calls that Sarah did on a daily basis. Her family could not grasp what a busy day was like for Sarah and were constantly irritated by her lateness.
I called the morgue at 2, Tessa informed her, nibbling a French fry. You weren't there.
Sarah sat down with a groan, running her fingers through her hair. I dropped back by the clinic, and Mama called, and the time got away from me. She stopped, saying what she always said, I'm sorry, I should have called. When Tessa did not respond, Sarah continued, You can keep being mad at me for the rest of lunch, or you can drop it, and I'll buy you a slice of chocolate cream pie.
Red velvet, Tessa countered.
Deal, Sarah returned, feeling an inordinate sense of relief.